Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Hey, everybody. It's the Title IX podcast and the Cyclone Fanatic podcast network. I'm Steph Copley with the newly haircutted.
I'm a supermodel.
Alisa Woods.
The supermodel Alisa Woods.
Not only did she get her hair cut, she got her brows waxed. And what did you tell me? When she rips off the hair on your face, you feel...
It makes me feel alive.
Alive.
God, you guys, 2020 has really been a hellhole. But when she rips that hair off my face, I just feel like somebody cares about me, all right?
Alisa's feeling good tonight.
Many people have just like, nope.
They're done.
Click.
They were over it in the first 20 seconds.
Well, you guys are going to miss out.
Yeah, because it's an action-packed episode. We have a special guest who's going to be joining us momentarily. Once we talk to our guest, we'll, of course, talk about the victory over Texas because, you know, kind of a big deal. And then since we've last potted, we have some women's basketball, men's basketball to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw, Alisa, but it was a pretty historic weekend for women in college football and in the NFL.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I don't know if you caught that.
We have some hot takes.
Sizzling.
I voice texted a lot of them to Steph, so I'm going to try and read them, and they're not going to make any sense.
Kind of like Matt Campbell's coach speak, right, Jared?
There was like a Florida in there somewhere when I looked back. I was like, what the hell? Like,
it was just one giant paragraph of Alisa's stream of consciousness.
Listen, Siri.
We are, of course, sponsored by the Ivy College of Business. Do it.
Hootie hoo.
I like it. That sounds like a We Just Beat Texas hootie hoo.
And sure did.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network is also fueled by Cody Road Bourbon. Find this Iowa made whiskey today at your local liquor store. If they don't have it, demand it. So thanks to our friends at the Mississippi River Distilling Company for supporting us as always. I got to tell you, I broke out the CF staff blend at halftime of the Kansas State game. Tasted pretty damn good. And I decided to wait until the clock ticked to 0-0 and the Texas game just didn't feel right breaking that out at halftime of that game. Just didn't have the same level of confidence.
Nerves were shot.
It tasted even better after that game.
Nice.
Thanks to you guys at Mississippi River Distilling Company. Really quick, I want to give a shout out to our super patrons of the week, Bob and Marsha Walsh. Bob and Marsha met at Iowa State, and after they graduated, they got married in Marsha's hometown of Barnum, Iowa, and they've now been married for 39 years and have 3 daughters. Bob's favorite Iowa State memory was tearing down the goalpost in Kinnick Stadium in 1978 after the Cyclones beat the Hawkeyes 31-0. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Bob and Marsha support Cyclone Fanatic because they live in the Quad Cities, and according to Bob, it's hard to get decent Iowa State stories on this side of the state. That's a direct quote from Bob. So thanks to Bob and Marsha Walsh for their wonderful support of Cyclone Fanatic. As always, if you're interested in becoming a patron, there's several different tiers. Check us out at cyclonefanatic.com for all the perks. And one of those perks that we told you about in our last episode, the chocolate episode, was an extra discount code for chocolates from Van Veen Chocolates. And this is a perfect transition by me. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I heard all
Master
the clapping.
Master of transitions.
Because our special guest tonight is Matt Miller, who is one of the owners of Van Veen Chocolates in Pella. So we're going to get him on the phone, find out about, you know, their story, how they got to where they are, and the Iowa State connection, and why they decided to do business with us crazy people over here at Cyclone Fanatic. So we'll get him on the phone, and we'll talk to him next. Okay, we are joined by Matt and Marja Miller, who, I guess, are you guys the owners now officially of Van Veen Chocolate, or what's your title?
Yes, we're co-owners. We took over for her parents. Her parents started this 25 years ago.
And your parents are Jill and Chuck Van Veen, is that right, Marja?
Correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about how this chocolate store started.
My dad started it about 27
years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. But who's counting?
Yeah. And basically started with a peanut brittle recipe that my grandparents had been making in Pella since the 1950s. And it just sold so well at some craft shows. He's like, oh, I should do this. So he came up with like toffee and some turtles and just kind of worked his way up from that. Ended up getting a certified kitchen and eventually moved out. He started in Newton and moved his way to Pella and had a shop there.
His dad was born in Pella. We actually live in the house where he grew up.
Oh, wow.
According to her dad, our kids are the fifth generation of Van Veen blood in the house.
Oh, wow.
That's really incredible.
So what chocolates did you add? You said that he had the brittle and a couple other ones. What did you add?
Well, can I actually jump in and ask a question before that? Because it might help. Wait, Melon. Sorry, I'm stepping on Elisa's toes and she's rolling her eyes at me. But I guess I'm just curious, when you guys got involved, were you always involved like as a kid or did it start later in life?
Well, we were living in the Ames area, living and working in Ames and surrounding communities, Zering to be specific. And we would come down and help out quite a bit off and on, like tulip times or big events like weddings and whatnots. And eventually as her parents got older, they were looking to reduce their hours. And after much consternation, we finally took the plunge.
Okay, now you can ask.
Okay. The question that I'm sure you're not expecting is what did you add? Like, what were the recipes that you added once you kind of took over?
Oh, we've added like cookie butter, and which actually we've had to do a 2020 redo on that. We lost an ingredient this year.
Oh, geez.
And so now it'll be called slightly something else and have a couple different ingredients.
I'm voting for version two.
Yeah, it might be better.
That's right.
Yes.
I love that. What about the marzipan? When did that come around?
Oh, that kind of started with us. I mean, my dad had messed around with it, but at that time he had slowed down enough. He was just kind of selling it out of the back of his trunk.
Well, I think you perfected it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things you tried.
That's one of my favorites, I think.
Yeah, I think once you try it, you know, people really like it.
And so you said you spent a lot of time in Story County, and you're both Iowa State grads, is that right?
Yes. Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's.
Love it.
And in one of your emails that we exchanged, you mentioned a couple of favorite Iowa State memories, so I guess now's a chance for you to tell us.
Well, I was at the Troy Davis game where he got 378 yards. A friend of mine I was working with at the time, we were standing on the hillside. Back then I was a smoker, and back then in 96 you could smoke in the stadium standing mm-hmm. outside, and it was phenomenal. And I don't remember much about it. There may have been a lot of tailgating before and after, possibly during, but I was there.
Somebody told me it happened.
That was one of them. I kind of forget what other one I emailed.
So what made you guys decide that you wanted to be associated with all of us crazy people at Cyclone Fanatic?
Well, personally, I've been listening and doing the website and doing the podcast. I was first introduced to Chris on the Steve Dace show. So when he first hit and at first I didn't like him because it was a chain.
First I didn't like him because he's obnoxious. No, that's not what he said. He said it was a change.
And it's gone from there. And, you know, we, in this 2020, I started emailing Chris early in the spring. It's like May-ish. He was calling for sponsors. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out how to get involved, and every penny counts. So our pittance that we're pitching in, hopefully it helps.
Well, one of the coolest things about Cyclone Fanatic, excuse me, is the way that Cyclone Fanatic supporters rally around businesses that Cyclone Fanatic seems to partner with. So I think that's really cool. And why don't you tell us ways that we can help you? I mean, what do you want us to do throughout the holiday season? I know you're doing something this year where you can ship directly to gift recipients and things like that. So tell us a little bit about how Cyclone Fanatics can help you guys out.
Well, our products, everything's handmade, and I want to specify my wife is the talent.
I'm here for proud You're people. A smart man.
I'm shipping and receiving, and I can ship to you or ship for you. So if you got family out of state, you're not going to get to see them. But we like to think our chocolates are one size fits all. And if for some reason they don't like what they receive, somebody else will.
That's right.
Send it to me.
And
And just tell everybody, I think the shipping deadline is December 10th to make sure they get it by Christmas time.
Correct. So with the preparation times and shipping lead times and the unknown world of 2020, we have a cutoff date of December 10th. If you get your order in on that day, we're guaranteeing that we can get it there. And I'm crossing my fingers when I say that. It depends on how big the order is. This, you know, the smaller the order, the more.
And your website is vanveenchocolates.com, or people can visit you in Pella at the storefront, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And we do get lots of visitors in Pella, but you know, with the whole mask situation and everybody's got a different comfort level, we do require masks when come visit us in person.
And if you don't feel comfortable this year, go on the website this year and then make it a trip next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Me and my mom are actually going to go out.
Do it?
Yeah.
Good.
And make a trip.
Good. And Pella is a great place to visit.
We're encouraging people to consider coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the tulips are always great in the spring.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah, come in the spring instead.
There you go. You don't even have to wait till next Christmas. Is there a favorite product that you guys have, like a personal favorite?
That's kind of like asking me which is my favorite child.
That's fair.
Mine's my oldest. No, just kidding. The other one just poops and sleeps, so he hasn't had a chance yet.
it kind of changes, kind of like meals, you know, or the drinks. I go through phases. Sometimes it's the coffee, sometimes it's the Stokias, sometimes it's the Dutch Crunch. Sometimes it's all of them at once, and then I regret it.
I feel that strongly. And we're going to use this. You want us to use the promo code Cyclones for a 7% discount on all of your website orders. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Is there anything else you wanted to ask?
No.
Okay. All right. We're on a Zoom call with Matt and Marjo, so we get to see them. So we'll wave goodbye. But for the rest of you, we'll tell them goodbye. And again, check them out at vanveenchocolates.com or check them out in the town square in Pella. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. And we look forward to listening.
Sounds good. Happy holidays.
Yeah, back at you. Be safe.
All right, now that we have chocolate on the brain, let's talk about football. I don't have a lot to add about the 23-20 win over Texas because everything's been broken down and analyzed 100 times over, except, my God, that was amazing.
It was. I loved it.
I hated it, and I loved it at the same time.
Here's the thing. So we did our Thanksgiving on Friday, and so I made the meal and then delivered it to my family.
You
and
were
stuff
super
like
woman,
that.
By the way.
I am super moment woman. Somebody make me a cape, whatever you need to do. No. So I dropped off, charcuterie on my way into town. Everybody lives within just like a mile of each other, not even, probably like a half mile of each other. So dropped off all the food and everything like that, and I was just hustling because we also bought a car that morning, so it was like a mess.
NBD,
right? No big deal, just bought a car. Tesla. No, just joking, that's my dream car
someday.
Yeah, it was a Jaguar.
That was like fourth on the list, right? But it's fine because we're money bags.
Yeah, money bags. So not anymore.
It's all in the Jag,
right? Oh, we're driving it around. So made all the food and stuff, and the game was on, and so I kept like running downstairs, and then commercial, I like run back upstairs, and then like my husband would like, ugh, and I was like, was that a good or bad? What's going on? What's happening?
You know, honestly, it was probably okay that you were distracted.
Yeah,
I was stressed the F out, like to the point where I could not enjoy it. I mean, I was enjoying it, but I was so, like, I couldn't move. I felt paralyzed. And I felt good before the game. Like, you text me and you said, we have this tradition, I'm not, where you say you don't feel good about it. And right. At this point, you just have to do it.
Right.
I felt good. I felt like we were going to win. And so I never had that panicked feeling that I've gotten in years past. But man, it... I questioned whether I actually felt good several times.
I think that I just prepared myself to be okay with losing.
Yeah.
That's why I do that.
Okay, so I also would have been okay with losing if Texas would have been the better team. But when we gave up those 6 free points, I was like, dang it, this is exactly what I don't want to do. So I don't know. I will never forget my reaction, you know, like a family's reaction, and going on Twitter and seeing everyone's reaction.
Yes.
And it's a bummer that we can't do things together this year, but I will have, when I look back on this season, I'm going to fondly remember the community that we've kind of built on Twitter, which is a weird thing to say, but I mean it. Like, yeah. I log on and I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Like, I know who I want to follow and who's going to make me laugh and who's going to piss me off.
Yeah.
But it's just, I mean, that's what you would get in a tailgate too.
Yeah.
Or a game watch or whatever.
I just have to say, like, I don't know if he's my favorite or my least favorite, but Alex Gookin, Alex, love you. Love your wife more. You stress me out, man. You stress me out. And she's told, his wife has told me that he is just like insufferable if they lose, which I totally understand because as am I.
Yeah.
But he posted this picture of all these like spreadsheets and stuff that
he
made.
It gave me heartburn.
It got me pumped. I was like looking at him and zooming in and stuff. I was like, yeah. So free advertising for Alex, who sells nothing. If you want a good Twitter follow for Twitter during Cyclone games, Alex is awesome.
I Cyclone Twitter, man, you have been fun this year.
Yeah.
And I love you all. And it's funny too, because we all have our things and our like little superstitions now, and everybody knows them. And I don't know, I feel like it's a giant virtual tailgate.
Yes.
But that Matthias's video, the reaction video, I've watched that numerous times. I cried so many damn times on Friday. It was just, I don't know. It was nice. It was in a year where there have been a lot of crap things. It just felt like, man, we finally got this one.
Yes. And when we actually won, my son was asleep. So it had to be a very, like when he missed that field goal. We were both like.
So immediately after it happens, you know, like lose mine, cry, whatever. And Corey had been asking me to read her a book for like several minutes. And I just kept saying, like, you have to give mommy a minute to calm down. And she was very patient about it. But finally, probably, I don't know, 10 minutes after the actual game was over, she's like, Mom, will you read me the book? I tried. You guys, I tried to sit down and read it. I couldn't focus. I'd get like 2 words in and think about something that happened during the game. I was not a good mother that day. But I don't care.
Listen, girl, learn to read.
You're in kindergarten.
It's tough out here on the streets.
But then I'm sure you saw my tweet, that little stinker. She said, Mom, can't we have something fun for dinner? Because the Cyclones. So she knows exactly what she's doing.
I love it.
Yeah, a little maniacal 5-year-old. Do you remember when we played Okie State and we botched that stat that Bloom said about us never having beaten a ranked team on the road while we're ranked? Guys, we did it.
We did it.
And I listened to Bloom and Chris's pod this morning, hoping and praying that he wouldn't remember that that was a statistic that he didn't. So that's my stat now, Bloom. That's mine. We didn't even have to phone a friend.
I own that.
Yeah. And also, happy birthday, Coach Campbell. Yesterday, right?
I don't know.
I think he's 41.
Oh.
Yeah. Big things happening for you and year 41 coach.
Yeah, big things in Ames and nowhere else.
Period.
Period.
That's all we're going to say about that. So you think we're going to clinch this thing by us beating West Virginia? Or you think?
Nope.
Well, you're obligated to say that at this point.
I'm stressed out. There's all, like, there's seven different things that if...
I think it's nine, right?
I don't know. I thought it was seven.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
But they, right. They all have to go a certain way for us to not make it.
Yeah. We're going to be fine. But you know what? I just want to take care of business our way.
Right.
Because at that point, you're 8-1 in the conference, and what a year.
Right. I want it to be in our hands.
Yeah. Like it should be. That would feel like the poetic ending that we deserve.
It would.
And then never mind. I was going to say something about attendance because I heard Jamie Pollard talking about it on the way here in the Coach's Corner. But anyway, the point is on Tuesday at some point they're going to release it. And by the time you guys listen to this pod, you'll probably already know. So there's no point in analyzing that.
Okay.
Just dated myself. Anything else you want to mention about?
No, I just thought that I don't know why I said no, but yes. I just thought that it was interesting, like... So Brock came off of probably his best game to play another fantastic game.
Yeah.
And then Breece had his worst game.
Yes.
And still had like 91 yards and a touchdown. I'm sorry, if that's your worst game.
And
like,
on the last drive, it was his breakaway run that started it. You know,
yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It just felt like and you're right, because you have what has been our offensive weapon suddenly shut down. I'm using air quotes, but for what he'd been. So.
And I just think that it would be, looking forward to the next game, I don't foresee an athlete of that caliber having two
down games.
Right. It wasn't a down game. I'm not even going to say it was a down game because he still played phenomenally. It was just his first game under 100 rushing yards. For the whole season. But I foresee him coming back kind of with a vengeance and wanting to say, like, you know, I'm still elite. I'm still here.
I'm still a Heisman candidate, baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what the forecast is for Saturday, or should I look really quick?
Cold and crappy. I think, you know what, Steph? I think we're done with the nice days.
46 and sunny. That's not bad for December.
I guess.
I'm just trying to...
I would like it to be cold.
I just want nice field conditions is all.
Sure.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to beat West Virginia, and then we're going to clinch, and then we're going to Dallas, baby.
Yeah.
I wish we could all go.
I'm stressed to the max.
That's how it should be. Do you want to talk about men's basketball?
Yeah, let's talk about men's basketball, because I watched every single second of the men's basketball game. I was like, I'm not going to miss two games in a row. But yeah, loved the game. I enjoyed it so much.
Did you enjoy the first half?
The first half whatsoever.
Jared did not enjoy the first half either.
But here's the thing is that, like, so Arkansas Pine Bluff got off to a 10-0 start, 0-10, whatever, start. And I did not think that that was something that they could maintain, you know?
Right.
I just don't think that a poor team can maintain. It's a game of runs. And so I wasn't stressed out.
No.
Cyclone Twitter was stressed out. It was doomsday.
I didn't say anything, but I just wanted to be like, guys, this is what non-con, especially in a year where who the hell knows what our practices look like.
Right.
And it's going to be ugly.
You're starting freshmen, like
injuries.
Right. And a lot of the players who are going to play a lot of time aren't seeing a lot of time. Like Solomon Young didn't get a ton of time. Like Condit didn't get a lot of time. That's for a reason, you know? They're working in these younger guys and seeing where they can fit in. And I wasn't concerned about it. I said in my mind, I should have said it out loud, but we're going to play like this in the first half, and then we're going to get a 20-point lead and end up winning by 20, which is pretty much what we did.
Yeah, that's how those games should go. I don't know. We shot 4 of 18 from 3 in the first half and 2 of 9 from 3 in the second half. I'm just curious. Obviously, we're going to be shooting the 3 ball a lot.
We went 8 for 14.
Oh, did I look at
three
in the second half?
In the second half.
Sorry, I looked at the wrong.
No, yeah, we shot like 57% in the second half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, because we made 12 threes.
Yes.
And that was okay. You're right. Sorry, I looked at the wrong.
No, yeah. But so threes were it was like okay.
That actually makes me feel better.
Team.
That it was more consistent in both halves. But anyway.
Yeah. No. The first half was pretty poor, but yeah, the second half we picked it up and shot our threes a lot better. And then I thought that Xavier Foster, when he came in, I have been looking forward to him playing for a long time. I watched him play high school ball. Like, I was excited for him to start. I'd start playing. Like, he didn't come in until the second half, but he had two big dunks and a rebound within 2 minutes or something like that.
That's exactly what we expect out of him. Yeah, that type of player.
Yeah, so it was good for him to kind of get off to a hot start. And he'd been down, I think, maybe, I don't know, an injury, or he wasn't a concussion, I think it was, is what it was. So he wasn't for sure that he was going to play. So it was really nice to see him. And we tweeted from the Title IX Twitter that we were excited to see him, and he liked it.
Aww.
I know.
That's awesome. Love it.
Hope you're listening. We're fans.
Be our fan. We'll be your fan. Well, that's good. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of living and dying by the three, but hey, whatever. As Bloom said in their pod today, hopefully we can sneak up on a couple of teams with that, you know, on a hot shooting night. And
yeah. I don't know. I think, I mean, live and die by the three, but we have some big men.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be kind of, if that's any indication,
yeah,
that'll be more of the game plan, yeah, I guess. We'll see. I don't know.
It's tough.
Everything's
to,
up
like,
in the air.
We were talking about this. It's tough for Razier Bolton to be basically like the best player on the team. Like, he would have thrived a couple years ago on a team being kind of a role player, and he's just gonna have to step up and be the best player on this team, which is tough, but hopefully he's up to it.
Jared wrote a lot of words on this game, and that was kind of one of the things he said, where Bolton goes, the team will go.
Yeah.
So if you haven't checked out Jared's column, it's a lot of words, but it's a lot of good words about what to expect this season. So there you go. There's my compliment to Jared for the night. I'm done.
Love basketball.
Done.
I love basketball, you guys. And I love that Jared loves basketball, too.
Do you want to talk about the women?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. So it's been an odd start. The women are currently, tonight as we record, 1-1. Coach Fenley's out with exposure to COVID, but I don't think he's had a positive test yet.
Right.
They opened the season with a 69-43 win over UNO, started four freshmen, which is pretty awesome. It was a little rough in the first half, a lot like the men, 12 turnovers in the first quarter alone. I was listening to that on the road, and man, turnover, turnover, turnover. It's like, oh my God, how many are there?
Right.
But Ashley Jones did her Ashley Jones thing, 25 points. And then she played an even better game on Saturday, though it was a loss to SDSU. She had 36 points and 12 rebounds. Her 19th career double-double. But again, that was a loss. So that's a bummer. Now, the Cyclones dropped from 15 in the country down to 23. But they're still in the top 25. And it's exactly like you and I just talked about with the men. You never know what's going to happen in the non-con. Yeah. So I don't think it's anything to freak out about. But I don't know. Without Coach Fenley, with a lot of freshmen playing, it's kind of, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't put a lot of stock in the non-con, but also I'm like, I'm afraid to get excited about a season just because of the way that the season ended last year. And I know that this is different, but
because you're afraid we won't get the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, I am pumped for the women, and I need to prepare myself for something like that, I think. But so Big 12 play starts for the women on Wednesday. They play at TCU, and then they play a couple more non-conference games, including Sunday against the number one Gamecocks in Ames. So it's going to be something to watch definitely this next week or so for the Cyclone women.
If they can play well, they have the opportunity to be a very high seed, I think, because they play Baylor and they play,
yeah, and they have ridiculous talent,
right?
It's just
right.
a matter of figuring out how that all right. works.
They have the resume to be a very high seeded team, I think, in the tournament.
Coach Fenley, I saw our favorite Connor Ferguson, aka Scoots, tweeted, it's not entirely clear yet if Coach Fenley gets to coach on Sunday against Sunday against the Gamecocks. I sure hope he can.
Yeah, me too.
Not that Coach Steyer is not completely capable of doing it, but
right.
it's your head coach. I mean,
right.
you're used to having him barking at you on the sidelines.
And
so
I want it for him, too.
That's a great point, too. So, you know, Coach Steyer, we love you.
Yes, we do.
But we want everything back to normal.
Coach Steyer, you're going to adopt me. Just ask your daughter. We already worked this out. After COVID's over, you're adopting me. Cool, thanks.
Thanks for the invite,
guys. I'll wear heels. You're not tall enough. Sorry. The whole family's real tall.
Am I taller than you?
Are you taller than me? I'm 5'9 and 3/4.
I'll wear some extra
high heels. What are you, 5'3?
5'5, thank you very much. So anyway, men play on Wednesday against SDSU. I don't feel great about that game. The women play on Wednesday against TCU. Don't know how to feel about that game. Guess we'll see.
Stress to the max.
We'll take a quick break, and then we need to talk about history, also known as herstory. All right, we are brought to you by Authentic Brand. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic.
Be authentic.
Oh, you know it now. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's talk about it. Sarah Fuller, Vanderbilt.
6'2". Boss babe.
Boss babe. The first woman to play in a Power 5 football game. And I don't care what you think. I thought it was awesome.
I don't give a flying flip what you think.
And if you don't think it's awesome, turn
unless
off
you
this,
think it's awesome.
If you don't think it's awesome, you turn off this podcast right now. Get out. We don't want you. So she kicked off. She was the kickoff in the second half. It was a squib.
So
squib.
Some people think that it wasn't, but here are my thoughts on it. I think
that
this coach did not trust the other 10 players on the team to tackle the returner and did not prepare his star soccer player to tackle a returner and said, please just kick something they can't return, which they couldn't.
No.
They just had to fall on it at like the 30.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk a couple of things about this. First of all, Vanderbilt sucks. Their coach got fired. So
got the can.
All right, this is my take that I didn't tell you in via text message. She did a better job than our special teams did for several kickoffs. I'm serious.
Well,
Texas is starting on the 35 to 40, sometimes a 50-yard line.
Good point.
So why are we criticizing her for, if we can't kick it in the damn...
Well, do you want to know why we're criticizing her?
Yeah, sorry.
Because she's a girl, and guys are scared that it's just going to be... Guys are just afraid that it's just going to be a bunch of girls playing football, and we're not going to let the guys in anymore. Guys, that's what they're really afraid
of. This is the problem.
Like, listen.
One of my life rules is to not read the comments.
Oh.
I didn't read very many comments. What I was seeing was, you know, like people retweeting things and saying things. I wasn't even seeking this out. It was unavoidable, and I'm just over it.
I'm over it. And then everybody got butthurt that they had her do a halftime speech. Listen. She's the only one who knows how to win. That's why she gave a halftime speech. Not even the coach knows how to win.
Guys, and also they asked her. It's not like she was like, excuse me, everybody.
Right.
Excuse me. I'd like to say something here. They asked her to do it.
Right.
What's she going to say?
Right.
No?
Right.
I mean, I guess she could have said no.
Right. Okay. And then do you think it's news if Trevor Lawrence goes to the women's soccer team and gives a speech?
No. I don't think so.
No, it's not. Like, Trevor Lawrence, I told you this, Trevor Lawrence is showing up to every single sport, giving halftime speeches at every single sport at Clemson, even like the rec leagues. He's showing up and giving every single solitary one.
He's everywhere.
Right. And you're going to cry about her coming in and telling some dudes who haven't won a single game how to get hyped on the sideline? Come on now.
All right. And I have to, I think it was Ben Bruns, who I respect greatly and think wonderfully of him. He was cool with it, but he said something, you know, to the effect of, you don't come into a locker room of guys you don't know. And had she come in there and stormed in and said, you let me speak,
right,
I can agree with that. But everything I've read has indicated that she was asked to do that.
And it's hard for me to believe that she doesn't know all those guys. like knowing the way the athletes kind of intermingle and spend a lot of time together, I would guess like she knows a lot of those guys. And I mean, the soccer team is good.
Yeah. And did you, if you haven't seen it, we should retweet it from our accounts. She dropped the mic today on Twitter.
Yeah, she
basically
did.
Said, I'm just going to put this right here. And it was a video of her. I don't even know what the word is. It was a bomb she kicked. She's a goalie.
Yeah.
And she kicked it essentially the length of the field, and then someone from her own team assisted into the goal. So it's not a matter of whether she has the capabilities to do this.
I mean, they had just won the SEC tournament on Sunday.
Right.
And then 5 days later, she comes and plays on the football team. And it's not like she just showed up and said, like, listen, we're making a movie about me and I'm pretending to be a dude. No,
right.
Like...
And the other part of this that, listen, Vanderbilt's football team is not good, okay?
Right.
If you go to Vanderbilt's Twitter feed, it is all about her. They very clearly, intentionally made this a thing about her because they knew their team sucked and this was something positive to, not to distract, I'm not suggesting they distracted, but it was something to grasp on and say, this is really cool. Our team sucks, but this is something that's really cool.
Right.
So they capitalized on it and now she's being criticized for that.
And guess who didn't get them within field goal range? And who didn't score any points so she could get the extra point. Like, guess who did that?
Yeah,
you the other men on the team. Like,
they're just bad.
Yeah. It's just not a good team. And I'm sure that they're perfectly nice people. And I would venture to guess that a lot of these guys in the locker room really don't care if she gave a halftime speech.
Yeah, I don't know where the outrage. I think you're right. I think the outrage was probably outside outrage.
Right. The outrage is from the couch surfers. That's my opinion.
The Cheeto eating couch
surfers. I honestly have like a crick in my neck from being so worked up over this.
Yeah, you got me fired up when we were texting today.
I don't think I could turn my head anymore.
Just turn your whole body.
I know.
Good thing we're in swivelly chairs. I don't know if you saw, Sue Bird tweeted, all her tweet was, it just said word of the day, squib. I thought that was awesome. But she was also, it sounds like female athletes reached out to her, Billie Jean King, Hope Solo, Mio Hamm. I saw Megan Rapinoe tweeted. It was just really cool to see the female support. And I will also add, there was a lot of male support. A lot of national writers thought it was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of local writers thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, like I saw Ali Farouk Manesh's daughter watched it. And I will say, Corey saw her getting up, you know, heard him talking about it on game day, saw her get off the bus. And then Nora, who's three, she kept saying things like, where's the girl football player? So this stuff matters. Yeah. And if you don't think it matters, pull your head out of your
ass. You said that too. And she has to be so like perceptive because I watched her get off the bus too. And there's no men around. It's a bunch of women around her. She's not wearing anything football. You know what I mean? Like she just picked up on that.
Yeah. Well, because it's probably because it's game day and she knows football players are generally men. And so she saw this is not normal.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's been a year of things like that, of seeing females in roles that we don't normally see them in. And every time it happens, I'm simultaneously like, this is awesome. And then I get the flip side of it of, my God, like, why are we having all these firsts when it's 2020 and my kid is five, my other kid's three? But I would rather have it happen than not happen.
Right.
So whatever. Did you see the NFL news? The Browns' chief of staff, Callie Brownson, I think that's how you pronounce it. She became the first woman to coach an NFL position group yesterday because their tight ends coach was out for...
Didn't the 49ers have a position coach?
I don't think it was like the coach in the game.
Gotcha.
Yeah. She coached in the game. That was the history.
Sweet.
Yeah, because the normal coach was out for paternity leave.
What position was it?
Tight ends.
Get it, girl.
I know. And I meant to go see what a chief of staff actually means. Because to me, that always sounds like a legal position.
Yeah.
So I started thinking, I wonder what her background really is. But I forgot. So I'll have to update you on that.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, guys. And then you noticed we had a female referee in the men's basketball game.
Yeah, I did.
Yesterday. And I think it was Brent Bloom who tweeted that she has done Big 12 women's basketball and WNBA and G League games for several years.
So. Every once in a while had a woman at the Wolves games. Mm-hmm. Actually, pretty often they had. I think one time they had two of them were women. So
basically, we rule the world. So
we're taking over. Pretty soon, it'll be just women, and we'll
pretty soon it's going to be shocking when a man trots out.
Right.
On the field.
God. Who let him out?
What's he doing here? God.
Guys, we're being ridiculous because it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Just let the people play who want to play. Yeah. Don't yuck somebody else's yum. I don't know. That's a wine thing my mom
says.
I
love that. I feel like we should just end on that because it's really good.
Okay.
All right. So next time we're on, we're going to have clinched the Big 12 title game and going to Dallas.
Knock on some wood.
Go Cyclones.
Go State.